This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I'm your co-host, Michelle Maros, and today I'm deeply grateful to be sitting across the table from my mom, Barb, because it's been a week. We both have been a little under the weather. We've tried to record this episode a handful of times at this point. You'll probably hear a little bit of a change of our voices, but we're so committed to the pod, the cause, you all. We're making it work today. So, hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle. Very excited to be here today. I think we sound a whole lot better than we did the other few times we tried to record.
You actually sound great.
Oh, I'm glad. It did not sound great for a few times, and we thought it was just way too distracting.
You know, we figured you all probably would be able to listen past maybe raspier voices, but you had a coughing fit the other day, and I'm like, I don't think they want to listen to us cough into a mic for an hour. So
no,
let's hit the pause.
Yeah, I went to the doctor. I just have a cold. He tested me for COVID and all the things, and he said, you just have a really, really, really bad cold. He said, take care of yourself because it could turn into bronchitis. I'm like, what?
Well, when you told me that, I was like, oh, now you really need to take care of yourself.
No, I know. I knew that it was something that I had never experienced before because I don't get sick that often.
No, you really don't.
But the cough was more than I had ever in all of my years alive. I've never experienced a cough like this for so many days. And then the sneezing, and I had some allergy attacks come on. So as Michelle said, it's been quite the week. It's been quite the week, but I feel a whole lot better today. And I'm very excited to be here with you, Michelle, to talk about our topic, because I'm so excited about the topic. That's why we kept trying to record.
Yeah.
Almost every day we sat down, we said, okay, maybe today will be the day.
Yeah.
But today is the day now, so I'm very
Let
happy
us hope.
To be here.
Let us hope we make it through this one.
We will make through it. We will make it through. I have faith. I have faith. So.
Yeah, it's been, you know, because we're roommates, we've been kind of in this journey this week together. And yeah, now we're here recording. So I'm glad that we've made it to this place and we can chat. You know, since you mentioned on a couple episodes ago, you were on a silent retreat and you brought up some of the things that you've learned or that came up for you or that you processed while on your retreat. And since we've been living together and spending more time together, you know, outside of work or just like regular life stuff, we've had a lot of chats about what came up for you and what you've been processing or noticing. And today's topic is one that was big for you while you were gone. And it ties into a lot of things that we talk about on the show and on social media. And I just think it's a great reminder and topic to discuss.
Yeah.
As per usual.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I want to start with a little bit is that I'm truly a human that loves to be curious, and I love to constantly be having insights about life, having insights about myself, and just loving it. And as Michelle said, so every time I would get an insight and then start talking about some of the insights and some of the things that I learned about myself, kind of what's been happening for me, especially the past 6 months, you all have been listening to this and going through this divorce of 33 years of marriage, it really had, as you all have felt, and you're going to hear more and more, I keep saying that, but this is part of more and more, it really did a number on me. And I think that this particular part of it, this today that we're going to talk about, is so, so profound for me. And I'm hoping that some of you will be able to, you know, just kind of feel this a little bit and say, wow, you know what, this is really important. So I think without further ado, I was on the silent retreat, and on the retreat, we do a lot of walking, and we do a lot of walking meditations, and we spend a lot of time in nature, which I absolutely love. And the weather was cooperative, so that was even better. So we were walking one day after lunch, and during these walks, we take in the nature, and you know, we're not talking for 30 days, so it's quiet. And as I was walking down the hill, I heard this voice inside of me that said, "Barb, you've forgotten who you are. Remember who you are." And I started to cry. It was very overwhelming, very profound, very deep. And I remember stopping and just hearing this voice, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are." And then I knew instantly why this was coming up, because for months and months and months, and prior to even going through the divorce, there's just been a part of me that's been very clinging to the past, worried about the future, and thinking about, oh my gosh, now what? And how is this all going to unfold? And just really ruminating about the past. And I think what that message was for me during that walk is, when we try to cling to the past, or even try to ruminate and think about how the past is going to be for the future, we are, as you can imagine, we are totally out of the present moment. We aren't at all experiencing the moment. So in this moment, on my walk, I was experiencing the moment. And that moment was telling me, you've forgotten who you are. You're clinging to the past. You're thinking you have no life without the past. You know, I don't know if I felt that dramatic about it, but certainly when you go day after day after day, I think everyone listening can relate to the fact that we can sometimes really ruminate about something for a very long time and day after day, and we can't actually let it go, or we have a really hard time letting it go. And I've always kind of ruffled my feathers whenever someone would say to me, just let that go, just let that go.
Yeah.
And I just don't find it that easy to let it go, even though I believe strongly in that we have to let things go. So what I believe what was happening for me was, this was the process of me being able to let go. And what struck me so profoundly about this is, my whole life's work is about all of us knowing who we are, what we want, and being the extraordinary humans that we already are from the inside out. So for this beautiful voice inside of me to say, Barb, you've forgotten who you are. Remember who you are. So as I think about the clinging, or I think about ruminating too much about the past and the future, what was happening for me as I started unraveling this, you've forgotten who you are, remember who you are, Barb, is that I was not letting go, obviously, but I've been abandoning myself. I've been in kind of a victim mode. Mm-hmm. I've been in a little bit of a poor me mode. I've been in a mode of chasing friends and hoping that they will stay my friend and not abandon me for my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. I've been in kind of a mode of grasping and trying to cling to what I did have before without the person that I was married to. And how is all of that going to work? How is I going to reconcile my new life? Instead of just being who I am, a loving, caring, kind, smart, extraordinary human being, I'd forgotten that I know what I need to do when I stay in the present moment. And so I share this with all of you listening, and I love this episode so much, as it sounds sometimes trite to say, oh, just be in the present moment, live in the present moment, be where your feet are. And all of us know that we have to live our lives like that, but it's very, very difficult to remember to be in the present moment. But when you actually get the message that, remember who you are. So I would ask all of you to kind of just think about, are there times when you abandon yourself? And Michelle, I know one of our favorite teachers is James Finley, and you quote him a lot in this.
Yes.
His most profound quote, I think, for both of us has been, yes, can you live your whole life never meeting the person who's living it? Having never met the person who is living it. And that's what he's talking about. Do we abandon ourselves and forget who we are? Can we actually look in the mirror and say, wait a minute, I know who I am. This is a very difficult time that I'm going through, but just remember who you are. And that clinging and grasping and trying to run around behind the scenes and trying to make everything okay.
Fixing,
judging, looking at different situations and say, oh my gosh, those people would never really like me anyway. You know, all the things that we think about when we're about to lose something, especially if it's something that's been with us for 30 plus years.
Yeah. Okay.
I know it's a lot to unpack, but I wanted to just share, and for all of you just to kind of take a deep breath and think about this idea of...
collective breath.
Yeah. Of remembering who you are and whatever that might mean for you. You may be bringing up things of abandoning yourself or bringing up things of judging yourself or being hard on yourself or not being true to yourself.
Yeah.
Or thinking you've got to be something other than who you are to make other people happy. Whatever that means for you, just what would it mean if you heard a voice inside of you say, remember who you are?
It's powerful. And in reaction to all of the things that you just said, I think it's important to remember for you that, and anyone listening, because life is difficult, as we talk about, I think every single episode, like Scott Peck says, there is no good in life without bad in life. We wouldn't know that things were good if we didn't have something to contrast it to. So we have those highs and lows. We have those periods of difficulty. And, you know, as we know, it's what we do with it that determines how it impacts us. And you went through it, or you've been going through it for a while now. And we've talked about this on the show quite a bit. And despite knowing and trusting and believing and all of those things that this is the right thing and was the right choice, it's hard because, especially when you talk about identity and knowing who you are and remembering who you are, especially when you're in a divorce where that's, you know, you're part of your identity for so many years, it is going to break down your sense of self because you have to redefine yourself. And I think that that's very normal, even if it's just a breakup, a not a marriage or a friendship breakup or, you know, moving to a different location. So much of how we identify ourselves and define ourselves is on our external life, even though we know the external world is unreliable and unpredictable. And so I just wanted to say first, if anyone relates to this, or even for you, Mom, it's not to even beat yourself up for going through that phase of losing who you are or forgetting who you are, or even going through those moments where you were acting in a way that, you know, saying that you were falling into victim mode and things like that, because it's part of the, like, I almost think of, like, you know, the phoenix rising from the ashes. You have to kind of burn it all down and start over again. And when so much is taken from us, it creates a void. And until we get our footing, until we, you know, start to heal, sometimes that void gets filled with not the healthiest of habits, but it's all part of the process, I think. And it's been cool to watch you go through this as someone so close to you because, well, for many different reasons. One, it's proof that no matter how committed you are to your practice or for how long you've been practicing, we're all going to struggle. And you talk about this so often to me personally, but even in our workshops, that just because you're committed to a practice, you meditate, you're in therapy, you're connected to yourself, it doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect. And the sooner that we can let go of that expectation that things will be seamless, I think the better we can handle things when they come our way. And I think you've done a great job at handling this, but we're always going to have difficulties. And the second thing that's exciting to me to watch this for you is it's almost like a snake shedding its skin. And, you know, I think for you, you've been good with the loss of the relationship, the husband piece for a while. Like, that's been something that you've known for quite some time was done. You know, of course, I think at the beginning, you know, maybe a year or two ago, just retraining your brain to live from a different perspective was hard. But as I think as far as the person goes, you've been good. And now I think these past 6 months or 8 months or even this half of the year has really been like everything else that goes along with it. The friends, the social circle, the, you know, the life that went around with it, you know, living in the same town and reimagining your life. And it's like shedding that last layer of like that snakeskin of your old life. And that's hard too, because it's your life. It wasn't just one person. It was everything else that goes along with it. And so what's cool for me now is to feel like you've shedded that last bit of the snakeskin. And I think on this retreat, now that the skin is off, it sounds so gross. Now that the skin is off, like, who are you now? And I think that's where you can have this really cool opportunity. Again, even if you're not going through a difficult moment, but any moment in time, we can ask ourselves those questions that we've talked about so many episodes, like who am I? What do I want? And what matters most to me? And how cool is it that each and every day, or at a pinnacle in time, we can have those moments to reinvent?
That's so beautifully said, Michelle. And I really appreciate your words and your comments. And I think just to add on to what you've just said, what is so profound for me about this and why I'm so excited to share it with all of you. I mean, first of all, everything I do in my life, I love sharing with all of you. And Michelle and I live for this. We love being able to share our life experiences in the hopes of helping all of you in any small way begin to start noticing in little ways you can start to change or shift and start to become more of exactly who you are from the inside out. So I appreciate what you're saying, Michelle. And I think why, going back to why I'm so excited about this episode, is it's not very often that we get the hit that, wait a minute, I'm abandoning myself. Wait a minute, I forgot who I am. And yes, I've been done with this relationship, you're right, for several years. It's now the now what? You know, what does my life look like? What, all of the things. And I think what's unfolding for me in such a beautiful way are many things. And number one, this idea of we're never going to be perfect, as you said, Michelle, and this idea of just staying curious and staying open, but more than any of that, allowing yourself to go through the feelings with whatever is happening. What I noticed the most in this forgetting who I am is that I did not give myself permission to just be in whatever feelings or whatever emotions I was in the moment. I would kind of stop myself sometimes, say, wait a minute, you know, shake out of this, Barb. And that you're strong, you're vibrant, you're all these things. And yes, I am all those things, but I'm also human. We are also human. So if you're feeling, you know, sad, or if you're feeling abandoned by other people, or if you're feeling scared, or if you're feeling like, my gosh, I need to go out there and figure out who are my people now, or whatever it is, how am I going to rebuild this new life? What's going to happen to me, or all the things that might be happening with whatever you might be going through in your own life. The idea of trying to push that aside and just, you know, kind of force your way through it, or, you know, muddle your way through it, it doesn't work that way. And that's what I realized a lot on this retreat. It doesn't work that way. And the moment I gave into the quiet and the walking and the voice that said, Barb, you've forgotten who you are. It was like a revelation, like, oh my gosh, who I am is patient. Who I am knows that life is going to be difficult, and I can feel all the feelings and know that I'm going to be standing tall whenever that day might come. And I don't need to run around pleasing other people, or I don't need to run around checking, or I don't need to do all of those things. And that's the idea, I think, what I've learned a little bit this whole past month or so, is that's kind of what letting go means. That, you know, sometimes we're in a position, we're saying, okay, just let go of this. You know, just stop letting this bother you. Or we'll say to ourselves, I know I need to forgive this person, but I can't. You know, it's like we're trying to force ourselves to do things before we've actually felt the feelings. And so this idea of living in the present moment, remembering who you are, comes when you allow yourself to feel all the feelings. and go through whatever it is you have to go through and be patient with yourself. Be kind and loving with yourself, not judging yourself. I think this is the most important thing that we have to remember. And this is what I've learned the most. And when we're not doing that for ourselves, we really are abandoning ourselves.
I love that. Let's take a quick break. Hi, friends. If you're a makeup and skincare girly like I am, you know how important the products are. But have you ever thought about how you apply them is even more important for the results that we're all looking for? Since 2019, Anissa Beauty has been leading the way in creating vegan and cruelty-free makeup and skincare brushes that are safe for your skin and the planet, which is so important to us. Known for their viral and award-winning Pinnacle Foundation Brush, Anissa Beauty has become a fan favorite among beauty lovers. What truly sets them apart is their innovation in skincare brushes, offering tools and specifically designed to pair with moisturizers, serums, and cleansers. They're one of the few brands dedicated to elevating skincare routines with expertly designed brushes that optimize the application and absorption of skincare products. The Anissa Beauty Pinnacle Foundation Brush is an absolute game changer in our routine. My mom and I have been loving adding it into our beauty routine, and it's been so fun to see the benefits and the results. The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is more than just a brush. It's a gateway to understanding that the tool that you use can be more important than the actual product. Anissa Beauty's brushes deliver value and quality like no other, which has completely changed how I apply skincare. I no longer use my hands and I let the brush do the work, ensuring smooth, even application every time. These brushes aren't just tools, they elevate your entire routine. And it's been amazing to try it out. Check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush as well as several other amazing brushes at anissabeauty.com and get 30% off site-wide with code BARBKNOWSBEST. That's A-N-I-S-A beauty.com. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So there's so much that I want to say, and kind of rewinding a bit and going back to what even prompts moments in life to allow us to realize that we've abandoned ourselves. Because I mean, I think so often, like that James Finley quote that you said, can you live your whole life without knowing the person who's living it? paraphrasing, of course, I think many of us, I could have gone through my life without the introspection to even have the curiosity to know who I am. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but I think oftentimes when faced with difficulty or when, you know, huge shifts take place, it does put into our paths the opportunity to really dive into that introspection. And I guess, can you talk a little bit more about maybe some of the symptoms of self-abandonment, or is there a way to know that you've kind of disconnected before getting to a place where you realize like, oh, I'm full on separated? Does that make sense?
That's a great question. And I think probably the way I would answer it, especially coming out the other side now, as you said, shedding the skin, the way I would answer it is, I don't know if we can ever prevent it. But what I do know and what I do feel today is that we can shorten the recovery time each time it happens. And that's the beauty of life. I feel so, even though I'm under the weather and you can kind of hear it in my voice, I'm sure, I am so excited about life. I'm so excited about being with all of you. I'm just so excited about my life and all the things that I have to share and all the things that I have to live in my life. So I don't know if we can actually prevent ourselves from going through those things, but I do know that I can shorten the recovery time. I can come back into the present moment after I've gone through whatever it is I'm going through. But what I do know that will help shorten the recovery time, and possibly there will be times when we prevent ourselves from going down into a deep place for sure, is not judging ourselves. Not expecting ourselves to be other than what's happening in the moment and really being kind and gentle with ourselves. So do we all want to go a little bit deep in this episode?
Are you asking us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to go deep.
So there's a quote and it goes like this. There are two kinds of suffering.
Yes.
Suffering that leads to more suffering and suffering that leads to the end of suffering. And so I really contemplated and reflected on this a lot during my retreat. And when I heard this quote decades ago, you know, you all know I've been practicing for 40 years and I've been studying all the great traditions and all the things about how do we make our lives have the desires and the happiness and the success and all the things that we wish in life. I ran across this quote, and when I first heard it, I thought of it this way. Oh, we can actually come to the end of suffering.
Interesting.
And so thinking about that decades ago, I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. But I kind of tried and it was a failure.
Right.
Because I guess in my brain decades ago, I thought we could end suffering if we just did all the things that we needed to do. And how fast forward now to today, there is no way to end suffering because we are going to suffer. We are going to have pain, and we also are going to have happiness and joy and fun and laughter. This is what life is all about. So what I learned deeply on this retreat is how we add to more suffering is by writing all the stories and telling ourselves all the things that aren't true that keep us clinging to the past or that keep us clinging to this idea of what we think is the right way for our life to be, instead of being open to what is life presenting us in the moment.
Right.
Let me feel all these sad feelings that are causing me pain and suffering, and let me work my way through them instead of trying to pretend or cling to the past so hard that maybe I can wish away what is actually happening, and I can change everybody's opinions or everybody's thoughts around me, and that I will come out the righteous person because what I feel is right.
Right.
And I don't know if any of this makes any sense, but it really makes great sense to me.
It does.
That we're trying to be right and we're trying to make it the way we want it to be. And life is showing us, no, this is not, we can't control other people.
I was going to say, it's about control. So much of what the suffering that you're talking about has stemmed from this kind of like subconscious control where, and I think using you, but even, I mean, from my experiences and breakups, you go through these difficult times that are so layered and you want to control the narrative, for lack of a better word. You want to appear unbothered. You want to appear unscathed. Do you want people to know the truth about the situation and choose you? You want to control the external world. And even though, I mean, knowing based off of this situation with you, like all of that is true. Like everyone should be on your side, for lack of a better, a lack of a better word. There's no way to control that. And it's not our place to try and control that. And that is the epitome of adding to suffering, because you can have it in your mind of how things quote unquote should be, and you're seeing something different in the reality of life, and reconciling that difference and trying to plot and scheme and plan to make things that way is exhausting. And it adds to that suffering. And so remembering that it's not our job to do that, and that our value and our worth and our ability to be loved isn't reflective based on how these chips fall in these situations is really powerful.
I think that's really well said, Michelle. And I would add to that, I think our biggest obstacle in all of this is we don't want change.
Right.
We don't like change for the most part, even though we crave change. And I think that's the duality that I found myself in.
Right.
You know, you don't want things to change, but you really want it to change because you're abandoning yourself in the situation that you're in right now. So we really crave the change, but we're scared of the change, or we don't want the change, or then the righteousness comes in, but I'm right.
Right.
And so there's this whole, you know, flux of happenings around in our life that when you think about the idea that if we're in pain or we're in sadness or we're in grief or feeling like you're suffering, we add to that suffering if we don't allow ourselves to feel the feelings and be okay with it in the moment, and then allow us to allow the feelings to move through us, and then be able to say, okay, now what? Or what's next? Or what could I imagine for myself? Just a little tiny opening of the door of what the next moment might look like. And so what I have found is that idea of suffering that leads to the end of suffering means that I'm going to feel my feelings in the moment, and I'm going to allow myself the grace of being sad or being scared or being uncertain that am I going to even have the friends that I already have. Whatever that might be, allowing myself to feel that. And then if I allow myself to feel, it'll move through me. And I can possibly wake up the next day and say, wait a minute, I'm good. I got this. It's going to be hard, but I got this. And so I think that's the shortening of the recovery time. And that's the suffering that leads to the end of suffering until the next pain or the next wave of grief might come along. But that's what truly living in the present moment means. I got such a profound feeling of being present, of that. That's what letting go means. It's not this monumental, let me let go of this 33-year marriage. It's like, let me let go little by little by little by allowing myself to feel my feelings and being okay with what is in this present moment and not abandoning myself and judging myself or being hard on myself or, you know, being hard on the other people or being, you know, needing to diss all of them in order for me to be okay, or whatever it is that we do.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is that happens to come up. And I think one of the things that really struck me big time was that in the ways that I was abandoning myself was feeling like poor me, or was feeling like, oh, what's going to become of me? You know, kind of like this kind of a sad thing, which I think was the result of not allowing me to feel sad.
Well, just to cut in there, what you're saying is the example, I think, of what we've talked about so many times is Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor's study about emotions and feelings, where in her studies, she found that it takes only 90 seconds to actually completely process and feel emotions if we don't attach to it and allow our thoughts to perpetuate it. And that's being present to it, not pushing it away, not judging it, and just letting it go. And I think that is the letting go, and that is the being present moment to moment. It's connecting to yourself and saying like, oh, today I'm really sad, but it's okay because that doesn't define me as a sad person. Or today I'm feeling very alone. I'm going to feel it, but it doesn't mean that I'm a person who's always alone. I think it's in those moments where we let ourselves define ourselves by these difficult moments, or that we're defined by the difficult feelings rather than just letting them move through us and remembering that they're not our definitives. They're not things that are who we are. And that's kind of going back to remembering who you are and remembering what's true. And you only know what's true for you and how you define yourself. But it's in those moments, you know, when we're a little weaker or things are a little more challenging, where I think it's easier for it to slip in and say like, oh, I'm the victim because I'm, you know, things just keep beating me down.
And I think that's so true, Michelle. I love how you put that. And what starts to become when you really allow yourself to just be and feel your feelings is you start to realize, first of all, feelings aren't facts. And if you don't allow yourself to feel and you kind of marinate in the feeling without acknowledging the feeling and letting it go, you start to recognize that that's who you are. You think that that's who you are. That feeling starts to have the power of defining who you are.
And feelings aren't final.
And feelings aren't final. And so that's what happens. This is the epiphany that's what happens when we don't feel our feelings and let them move through us. They start to have power over us. And we start to say, oh, this is who I am. Or this is, you know, who am I? This, you know, my sadness. Or no one's going to like me. Or I'm not strong enough. Or I'm not brave enough. Or all the things that we're fearful of start to become a reality because we're giving them the power to name who we are.
Well, and I think especially when you're someone who's had similar things happen over and over again, like breakups or rejections or challenges, that makes it even easier for us to start to make that part of our defining factors. Like, I'm someone who always blah, 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 or this is who I am because this keeps happening. And I think that's when it's especially important to remember that those external, like you say, nothing has the power to name who you are. No external situation or experience or anything in your path has the power to name who you are. We get to do that. So everything else that comes along the way is just whatever we let it be. And that's kind of a cool thing to remember in life. And especially knowing that, you know, there's so little that we can control. How is it that we want to define ourselves and present ourselves, and what do we believe that's actually true about who we are? And what do we want to create? Because again, that James Finley quote, living our lives without knowing who's living it, like, who is living it? And being creative and introspective and curious about it.
And I think that the only way we can do that is by allowing ourselves the grace of living every moment with whatever life presents with us and whatever the feelings that come up. And I actually, during this time, I've started having different thoughts about the words letting go. So for me now, letting go, it used to be a heavy burden, I think. And I didn't realize it. Like, I used to get down on myself if I couldn't let the past go, or I couldn't let something go, or I tried to control something. Now I've reframed it a little bit, and I'm going to play with this in my life in the next, you know, few months. And I have been already, this idea of that one of our biggest teachers in life is impermanence. Like nothing is permanent. And so if we can really start to little by little by little get that deep within our being, that change, everything is change. Nothing is permanent. And that doesn't mean that we can't last with something for decades and decades and decades, but not having that expectation of that we are going to be able to be the same person for the rest of our lives, or that life is going to be the same for the rest of our lives, or whatever that mindset is that we want to have something and have it last forever.
Right.
That's not going to happen. And that is a falsehood that we sometimes take as a truth. And then when change happens, it's like, oh my gosh, now what? And so what I've started to think about is this idea of impermanence.
Well, it's true. The only constant in life is change. And how can we accept that to such a degree where we're not rattled by it?
Yeah. And I think I put in my mirror this quote, all is change. And the other thing that I think I wanted to share is, I hope I'm not sounding too awful.
No,
I don't know how this is going to sound to all of you all.
It's okay. If you want to take some water, I know you might need it.
It's okay.
It's okay. Just share.
Let me just say this one thing because it really got me. You know, the idea of suffering that leads to the end of suffering and suffering that leads to more suffering. As I was really reflecting on this, I also came to this belief that as I started moving through the pain and this whole feeling of what now, as you were saying, Michelle, I had let go of the relationship several years ago. And so as you start to embrace the hurt, or you start to acknowledge that there's the hurt and the pain, or start to acknowledge that there's a little bit of the feelings of fear and uncertainty, what starts to unfold, which is what you've been saying about me, is joy.
Mm-hmm.
Or is laughter, or is ease. And so it's a really beautiful, miraculous thing to say that when we embrace the suffering or the hurt or the pain that we might be going through and not try to push it away or not try to pretend like it's not there, when we embrace it, it starts to, you know, evolve, and it starts to unfold into becoming more of the freedom.
Right.
And the joy and the person who we really are from the inside out.
Well, it's that knowing that if you can show up for and be present to your life, even when it's hard, you can then be open to and witness to the possibilities, all of the unlimited possibilities, all of the potential that can come from starting again and starting new and being excited about the possibility of a new beginning. And I think that's what's really cool about you, Mom, and this situation, but even all of us, is that each and every moment and every day is an opportunity to begin again if we want to, or to redefine who we are if we want to, because we're never, like you were saying, nothing is permanent in life, and we are never stuck to anything external that we've let define us. And so for me, it's been all about that personal connection within and becoming my own best friend, to know that the external world can ebb and flow and come and go and change. And yes, I will be affected by it. I will have emotions and feelings about things that happen. But like you were saying, Mom, it's not going to etch away at the strong foundation that I have from within. And if it does, my recovery time or my reaction time will be less and less and less. And I think that's what continues to fortify me from the inside out. But let's take another quick break really quickly. Break really quickly. And we're back.
I think what you just said, the idea of fortifying ourselves, I feel so much today that we just have to start being more gentle with ourselves. We have to be more compassionate with ourselves. And truly, everything begins with us and our lives. And so we have to be more patient, more loving, more kind, we're going through a tough time. First of all, know that you're not alone because all of us go through tough times, but also know that it's okay. And I think that the more that we can start embracing what's happening for us in the moment, the more that we start to move through that moment and get to the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. And we'll start to see the little bit of freedom, or we start to see the little bit of joy, or we start to see the little bit of, I got this. Okay. Look, I weathered this storm better than I thought that I would. And even though this has felt like a really long time of this whole process of this divorce, I actually feel like I've weathered this better than I ever could have imagined now that I...
Of course.
But it's interesting to say that. I mean, I feel like I, of course, but then having gone through it, I'm like really proud of myself.
As
and that's
what
I want all of you to feel. Like that's what happens when you go through something, trusting that you can get through it and like never giving up on yourself. You come out the other side like, wow, I'm a badass, or Ooh. I'm a strong person. And you start to have this sense of liking yourself even more. Or I like to say, maybe not liking yourself even more, but embracing the person that you already are. And so that little voice in me that said, Barb, you've forgotten who you are.
Right.
And so you come out the other side of the sorrows or the pain or the sadness of whatever we're going through at any given moment in life, which we all will have. You start to come out the other side of feeling like, okay, I got this. Wow. I really love how I move through this. I really love how it's making me feel about myself and others. I really love that I can look in the mirror and say, I love you. You did a good job. You did a good job today, Barb.
And I think that's the silver lining that we talk about that comes from difficult situations, is that you can find that love and appreciation for what it made you, even though it was not pleasant.
Well, and I think too, when we rest and we embrace ourselves without judging, without comparing, without trying to fix others, without trying to fix the world, when we actually do this in a really mindful way, we're really returning our life back to ourselves.
Right.
It's almost like that. I remember when I was in one of my meditations, I was really deeply feeling this idea of resting deeply within. And resting deeply within, my life gets returned back to myself. It's a very profound, beautiful way, but it's also a very simple thing. But it's not easy. Like all this is simple. Like just be in the present moment, but it's not easy. And so we've got to be gentle and patient with ourselves. It is not easy. But we can do it. And as Glenn and Abby always say on their podcast, we can do the hard things. And just trusting that we can do the hard thing, no matter how long it takes. I would never imagine that you and I would still be talking about this
right.
all these years later. But I'm so free.
Well, it's the layers of the onion.
Yeah. And we can do it.
Right.
So resting deeply, we can return our lives back to ourselves. And that resting deeply means pausing, being in the present moment, feeling your feelings, allowing yourselves to be, even if it's just for one moment of every day.
I'm curious a bit, and I know that we don't have a ton of time to dive into this, but knowing what you know now and feeling how you feel now about you, about yourself, about your life, you know, having that hindsight being 2020, is there any way, or is there anything that you could have done in those moments of the past where you felt like a victim or beat down or not chosen, or that you were trying to control things? Is there anything that you could have done or that could have been said to you that would have helped at all? Or do you think that these are the things that we just have to go through and have to feel and do all of the things to get to this point to say, oh yeah, that was all for a reason?
That's a really good question. I would have to contemplate that more for sure. I love this question, but off the top of my head, two things come to mind. One, I think life takes what it takes.
Right.
It takes what it takes. And that's, if we can really truly embrace that, we will be patient and gentle with ourselves. But I also think that in reflecting back, probably what prolonged this for me was not acknowledging that I was scared, not feeling my feelings deeply, like wanting to push them
and
away.
And the rest.
Like wanting to fix it or wanting to maybe move through it faster than I was ready to move through it, or wanting to change things, or wanting to change other people, or projecting that they weren't going to like me anymore. All the things, all of that, I believe, and I want to reflect on this more because I would love to talk about it more, but I believe the first blush of this, as I've come out of this, realizing that I kind of had abandoned myself for a while, I believe is because I was too afraid to acknowledge that I was afraid. I guess I didn't trust myself enough, maybe, that I was afraid. And the fear kicked in maybe so strongly at times that I thought I could shapeshift, or I thought I could fix it, or right. I thought if I just changed this, or if I just got them or whoever to change that, or like...
Or proving things.
I remember saying to myself sometimes, it doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
And so as I reflect back on that, I was trying to fix it or change it, or I was not willing to acknowledge it was this way. And I think the beauty of all of this is it was this way, and thank goodness it was this way. Because in reality, as I've moved through it, I wouldn't want it any other way. I wanted this freedom.
Right.
I want to be free. I want to be exactly who I am. And as I reflect back, I was not exactly being who I am all the time because of the fear.
Interesting.
Or the need to control or the need to change. So it's just so amazing and so profound, this idea that we can move through major suffering and sadness and change and come out the other side. Wow, this is what I really want. And I was holding on and trying to keep something that wasn't really for me.
Yes.
And life did its best to teach me that and show me that. And thank God life is so patient and so persevering, if I think about it that way. And I use the word life, I use the word God, I use the word all of the things of that spiritual energy within us, whatever resonates for you, but there is a life force that is working in our favor, I believe, all the time. We just don't recognize it some of the time. And I think the beauty is it takes what it takes. So just trusting that we will recognize it. And I think I never gave up the thought that I was going to get to the end of this in a way that was going to be beneficial to me and everyone else involved in it. But it took a lot.
It takes what it takes.
It took a lot.
And I do think this will be a great conversation maybe for next week, because there's lots of pieces that I know you've wanted to talk about that come up in these situations, the judging, the fixing, the comparing, and what that brings up. So maybe we can
dive into
take
that,
all of this and continue this conversation. But I will say, if nothing else, it really seems to me like if you're going through something traumatic or challenging or life-changing, you have to remember to just care for yourself a little extra. And I think it sounds trite or cliche to say, but like the rest, the slowing down, the self-care in ways that are aligned for you are what will help you to stay connected with yourself and to remember what's true. Because I think for you, you know, you're always so busy. And I think maintaining your busy life led to additional chaos for you. And having this time to go on the retreat and stop and reflect is where things could rise to the surface.
Well, and I think just to interrupt you for a second, I think when you're not wanting to feel your feelings, you're going to be busy in a way that doesn't need to be busy.
Right.
I can be busy and still also be quiet, where what I noticed was I was causing myself to be busier than normal because I didn't want to feel.
Right.
Like, let me just distract myself in any way possible until I figure out how to fix all this. It's kind of a vicious cycle. And I love where we're going with all this. And I hope this all resonates for all of you listening, this idea that we just get caught up in this cycle of, let me just keep being busy because eventually I'm going to figure out a way to fix it.
Right.
And
when the antidote is to really slow down and connect with yourself and just let yourself rest, let yourself recharge and recover from life and take the time to connect with yourself and just remember who you are in each and every moment and know that nothing is ever final. And like we always say, this too shall pass.
And what happens when you do everything that you just said, Michelle, is you wake up the next day saying, oh, I know what my next step is.
Right.
I know what to do.
Right.
I got this. Wait a minute. I know how
it's that one day at a time.
Yeah. I know how I feel. And one day at a time can be several years from now. You know what I mean? It's like really being present and okay with what is, however long the what is takes.
Right.
And I know that's a hard quote pill to swallow sometimes. You know, being with the present moment, however long it takes, and the idea that it takes what it takes. But what I've recognized, and to answer your question from a while ago, Michelle, could I have stopped her from lasting so long, or could I have done something differently? Maybe. But what I do know is that it takes what it takes. But what I also know is that when we do feel our feelings and allow ourselves to be with ourselves in the moment without trying to push it away, without trying to distract ourselves with everything else that's going on in our lives, it does seem to move the process along more beautifully, more mindfully, and more effectively.
Makes
with
sense.
Less suffering and pain.
That makes sense. And I'm excited to dive into that concept a little more next week. I think that'll be fun.
I love it.
What a cool... Who knew that this is where we were going to end up today?
Well, you know what? I'll end here. I'll tease next week's a little bit. So the idea of not comparing.
Yeah.
Not fixing.
Mm-hmm.
And not judging.
Yeah.
If you think about those three things. So everyone listening today, just reflect on that for a little bit. If you didn't do those three things, you know.
What's left?
Yeah. What is the biggest cause of our suffering?
So is that homework for everyone?
Not necessarily homework, but I've loved reflecting on this and really diving into this with my own life.
You do. You talk about this often.
Well, if you take those three
and
things.
And you've been jonesing to talk about this on the show.
I have been. I've really
it's like all
to
part
talk
of your
this.
Master plan.
And I think my voice will be back to normal.
It will be.
And my energy will be back to normal, but I love all of you very much. Thank you for indulging this voice. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for...
And Michelle, you're an amazing caretaker.
So are you. I learned from the best.
I love you.
Love you. Thank you so much for listening and for, like she said, bearing with us. I know that it might not be the most pleasant at times, but I hope that you enjoyed this topic and this episode, and we can't wait to dive into it a little deeper next week with some of these concepts that my mom was talking about to think about. Until then. So again, make sure that you are liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so that you're always up to date with each and every new episode. If you want to send us podcast topic requests or have questions, comments, or concerns, make sure that you're connected with us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to do so. Lastly, we have a newsletter that is going to keep you up to date on everything, but also some new stuff that we have planned. So if you haven't yet subscribed, click the link in our show notes. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you so much for being such a beautiful and supportive community in sickness and in health. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.